Llevados a cabo contra Cuba, tenemos los siguientes. Año 1976, una bomba es colocada en la embajada cubana de Portugal, ocasionando la muerte de dos compañeros. 6 de octubre, es destruido en pleno vuelo un avión de Cubana de aviación con 73 personas a bordo. Detrás de estos hechos está la CIA. Y casi sin excepción, las organizaciones terroristas que radican en Estados Unidos y actúan impunemente en territorio de ese país.
Viva Cubana, sí. We had an explosion and we are descending immediately. We had fire on board.
Cuba has been hit by numerous attacks over the course of history. In 1976, 2 bombs were detonated in a Cuban aircraft en route from Venezuela. The accident was considered as the most appalling terrorist attack in Latin America for years. Freddy Lugo, Hernan Lozano, Orlando Bosch, and Luis Posada Carriles stood trial for this attack. According to the confessions made by one of the ex-agents of the CIA, for decades, Cuba has been hit by waves of terror and panic. In the 1990s, Cuban tourist sites were the targets of frequent terrorist attacks. Back then, tourism was considered a major source of income for the island. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, one of Cuba's biggest trading partners, terrorists targeted the tourist sides of the country to create an atmosphere of mistrust and insecurity. The attacks also aimed to annul the contracts signed by Fidel Castro to boost the country's tourism industry at the time of the economic downturn in early 1990s. It was in the 1990s that a group of 5 Cuban people was dispatched to the United States to infiltrate the radical groups in Miami linked to the recent terrorist attacks.
In the past 30 years, Havana has been repeatedly hit by terrorist attacks. That's why we have come here to the city center to ask Cuban people about their living situation.
What do you remember about the attacks in the past 20 to 30 years ago?
El ataque a los hoteles de Cuba, la explosión de bomba, la explosión del barco La Cubre, que venía con armas de otros países para defender la patria, los ataques terroristas no solamente militares, sino contra los cultivos cubanos, contra la salud cubana.
Mire, cuando le metieron la bomba en los hoteles, que mataron un italiano.
Porque eso es lo que estaban tratando ellos de evitar, que fue que hicieran atentados, más atentados aquí en nuestro país.
Para que no hicieran terrorismo en Cuba, ni nada de eso. Ni que no pusieran bombas en los edificios, ni nada.
Que van a Estados Unidos a tratar de evitar ataques terroristas como los que hubieron en los hoteles, como en la bodeguita del medio, que fueron gente como pagada por Luis Posada Carriles, por Orlando Bosch, que le pagaban a diferentes personas, por ejemplo, salvadoreño, que hubo el caso, que fue uno de los que puso los explosivos, para ataques terroristas aquí en Cuba.
In 1998, five Cuban citizens were arrested by the FBI and went on trial. Gerardo Hernandez and Ramon Lobanino were sentenced to 2 life imprisonment terms and 30 years imprisonment, respectively. Meanwhile, Antonio Guerrero was sentenced to 21 years and 10 months. Fernando Gonzalez will be released in February 2014 after spending 18 years in jail. Rene Gonzalez, who was released in October 2011, has to pass 3 years probation in Miami. 5 Cuban citizens who stood a 6-month trial in Florida were found guilty. They were arrested in 1998 and stood the longest trial in the history of the U.S. criminal court. We went to another part of Havana to see one of the family members of Group 5 who managed to go to the U.S. This is Magali Ruiz, the mother of Fernando Gonzalez, who led us in her house to talk about the memories of her son.
This is the original announcement posted everywhere on the day the Group 5 was arrested.
You mean the time when the news was announced in Cuba?
Yeah, in Cuba. This is the photo of Fernando in the prison yard while he was exercising. He sent his photo to us. This is the photo of a squirrel that was playing in the grass and took the attention of Fernando. And this photo is taken when I went to meet him. The photo should be taken in front of a painted wall in the prison compound. On the wall, there is a picture of a snow-capped mountain, but the color of snow is violet. I told them that it is too strange. I never seen violet or green snow. The photos are just allowed to be taken against this background to prevent revealing the truths about the prison.
Magali told us how hard it was for her to wait for her son. Fernando is the second person who awaits release.
It makes me calm when I think that Fernando will be released on February 27, 2014. Because he is a Cuban citizen, he will be sent to another prison before his return to Cuba. We know that he won't have any problems to come back to Cuba. He has to go through some legal procedures that I don't know a lot about, but I suppose they don't take a long time.
I think the arrogant U.S. has failed to recognize Cuba as a sovereign state with an independent political system far from capitalism since 1959. The system is based on social justice for all. They can't see the progress of the country that has said no to them. That's why today the U.S. has a hatred of these 5 people and stops short of clarifying the case even in the U.S.
Cuba continues its tireless fight. It is the country of tranquility. Every day as the sun goes down in the sky, the island awaits the return of its 5 children.
Fidel Castro fue quien él mismo, él en su propia persona, dio la orden de poner una bomba en ese avión.
Los 5 son presos políticos, pero más que esto, los 5 son espías confesos.
Some terrorist attacks have been launched in the U.S. against the Cubans. We will travel to Washington and London to know more about the public campaigns that have demonstrated solidarity with the Group 5. Anti-Cuba terrorism is not restricted to the Cuban island in the Caribbean Sea. In Miami, everyone who has a close relationship with Cuba will be threatened and comes under brutal attacks by anti-Fidel Castro groups. We have come to Miami to speak to some people with Cuban background and to know what they say when they hear the term terrorist. Miami, the most important city in Florida, is situated at the crossroads to the Spanish nations of Latin America. After the Cuban Revolution in 1959, more than 400,000 Cuban people immigrated to Miami. They were mainly the middle class and the wealthy, who had special privileges in the Batista regime backed up by the United States. In the 1980s, the Cuban and the U.S. government reached consensus on the issue of 150,000 Cuban asylum seekers who entered Miami via Mariel Boatlift. Hispanic Spaniards comprise 65% of this community that mainly includes the Cubans. These were the people who formed the powerhouses in the region.
Most likely, the American Cuban community in the United States has the highest number of the representatives. They are the elected people. The community has the capacity to play its role in the public sector of the United States and to comprehend its democratic system. This is the most significant achievement that the Cuban American could bring back home.
The office is run according to the political guidelines of the United States. It's sponsored by the White House and the federal government to spread anti-Cuba propaganda.
In the mid-1980s, the U.S. President Ronald Reagan established Radio Martí news channel for the Cuban people who have been denied full access to information. For instance, people are not informed of the time when a hurricane hits their country. This has happened before. Radio Martí has actually backed the Cuban nation and tries to convey no political messages.
But Radio Martí's internet page is full of political messages. The case was highlighted through a financial corruption case in 2006, when it was unveiled that Gerard Martí, a Radio Martí journalist, was secretly paid by the White House to write articles against the Cuban Five.
It was never proved that the United States had paid the journalists to publish those reports. Actually, there was a conflict of interest. Since a journalist of the U.S.-backed Radio Martí had another contract with Miami Herald, he had to cover the news according to specific rules. But it was never proved that this journalist was paid by the United States to spread propaganda against the Cuban Five.
Pablo Alfonso, a friend of mine, is one of the most prominent Cuban journalists who was accused of writing articles against the Cuban Five. In fact, it was the case of failure in complying with his code of conduct and had nothing to do with financial corruption. As per his contract, Miami Herald owned copyright of the articles, and he was not allowed to work for other papers.
There was no litigation. Even some of the accused journalists managed to come back to their jobs in the Miami Herald. They aimed to mount a propaganda campaign in Miami, as the Cuban Five were standing trial. This is why these days political issues are widely discussed everywhere.
To me, Miami is the political hub of Hispanic Americans. It's just enough to watch the TV programs covering various political issues at national and international levels in Spanish and English. The radio channels have the same story. You may remember what happened to José Guillén. All of these issues just happened in the political hub of Miami, where people need to gain political insight.
But in Miami, there are only anti-Castro views. This political culture suppresses any statements made in support of Cuba or of Castro. As stated by Ricardo, Oswaldo Guillén, the head of the baseball team, was attacked, In an interview with The Times, he said that he had respect for Fidel Castro because of the way that he holds the reins of power, despite numerous attempts by his enemies to bring him down. Later, Gillen was denied heading the team due to these statements. He was also accused by the Miami Cuban community. Finally, to save his position, he had to offer his apology to the general public.
I need to understand the Cuban people. As I told you before, I would oppose anyone who violates the law. If I come to know that an exiled Cuban is breaking the law, I will certainly condemn him in my article.
For many decades, as a result of the media suppression and the people's lack of awareness, the laws were passed by the radical anti-Castro groups. This is proved by assassinations of the people who are linked to Cuba. The airline brokers came under the latest attack. On April 27, 2012, a bomb blast wiped out the airline's office. The explosion was reported as intentional by the fire department. Vivian Manarud, the owner of the company, explains the story.
In March, the Archbishop of Miami signed an agreement with us to plan a tour of 500 people on the occasion of the meeting between the Pope and the Archbishop. The plan included visits to Santiago and Havana churches. It could be probably the reason behind this bomb attack.
A hacked email reveals how the attack happened. Vivian said that they had been threatened before, and the incident was not unprecedented.
They attached a bomb under my car. We were six people. In another incident, a conference in Cuba on immigration came under attack. All the conference participants had to protect their houses in Florida by security guards for a month.
In the 1990s, these attacks were quite normal in Miami, weren't they?
Here, even some alleys were named after those who committed the attacks. It's hard to believe that this city is one of the cities of the United States. It's unbelievable. If you just listen to the phone calls to a radio channel as well as the statements made by the program's commentator, you will find out how they provoke violence. If you don't approve the ideas of the right-wing community of Miami with the Cuban background, you will be considered the enemies. I don't predict any roles for the extremist right-wing Cubans in the political future of Cuba.
These anti-Cuban activities carried out in the Cuban island, or in Miami, were unveiled by the Cuban Five in the 1990s. In 1998, the Cuban government delivered the results of its investigations to the U.S. government. This included a detailed report of more than 200 pages, a videotape, as well as recorded voices of terrorist groups in Cuba. In response to the report, the FBI arrested the Cuban Five. Since then, the events have been affected by the political atmosphere of Miami.
Versalles Restaurant is situated here in the center of Miami. The Cuban people gather here and discuss daily issues. They drink coffee and eat sandwiches, but they mostly gather here at the times of conflict and discuss the relevant issues. So we have come here to find out what they know about the Cuban Five.
Estaban espiando aquí, los cogieron y los metieron presos. Bien hecho. ¿Qué más querían?
The members of the Cuban Five are prisoners of conscience, but actually they are confessed spies. In a U.S. court, all the members of this group confessed spying. Later, the case was handled by saying that they were trying to defend Cuba. This is while Cuba is ruled by a dictatorial regime.
But violence is not the only means of showing hostility. Campaigns and conflicts could have provoked immediate reactions in the city.